past the blackened sand into the slopes of the mesa, traveling now as fast as he could travel. Arms waving, eyes flickering, tears welling up in his eyes, he ran, and ran, and ran. And then he was up the mesa, and crossing it, and he thought that it was too late now, that Bolov would never be able to do it by now. He must be dead already. But still he ran, the terror ruling all. He tripped at the edge of the mesa. He fell. At 100 kilometers an hour, he struck the sand and rolled. He carved deep ruts where elbows and knees dug into the sand. A great cloud erupted around him. He continued to slide across the last few meters, and then he fell, completely out of control, down the long slope of the mesa. As he struck bottom, Bolov ejected, and the battle finally ended. He awoke, briefly, to the sounds of the medic's impersonally soothing tones. He was told that connection was being made. He was told not to move. He was told of his myriad injuries. He was told that transit to the Terra was forthcoming. He was told that he had been found at the end of the last sweep for survivors, that he was, in fact, quite lucky. But he heard none of it. Instead, he only stared at the black sky above him. Night at last, he thought, and his eyes reluctantly closed. The doctor eyed the worst of the cyst-like bruises, the one that completely covered his right shoulder.
"You can't wear a suit like that, no," he said.
Felix felt a surge of relief so overwhelming that the awful pain was momentarily eclipsed. He noted the doctor's glowering, disgusted expression and felt his cheeks to see if they were red. They debriefed him and fed him and were surprised to learn from his recorder that he was the one. They had surely thought the hero of the knuckle suitable for martyrdom. They later became angry when he ignored their questions. They thought it was because he now thought himself to be too superior to respond. This belief intimidated one of the officers, who marked his personal log with a negative entry. But Felix had been silent, not from a sense of superiority, but from shame and suspicion. They woke him up entering the bay. They laughed and joked and were nervous. Then they became hushed and reverent when they found his lone sleeping figure at the end of the line of what they thought were empty berths. Quietly, they stowed their gear and crept out into the hall to talk. Out of respect for a veteran.